You got your Bibles, turn to the 16th chapter of Matthew today is where I'm going to be in the Scriptures, the 16th chapter of Matthew. If you would, turn there, please. All right, if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew, the 16th chapter, breaking in at the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you'll speak through these stammering lips. Hide your man this morning. And Lord, open the hearts and the ears of the people that they'll hear your message. May we grow from it today. May we honor you in all that's said and done. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are tempting him to show them a sign, but he calls them hypocrites and told them that they are an adulterous generation seeking after a sign, but there will be no signs given, only the signs of the prophet Jonas, but to seek God first. So this morning I want to preach a message, if it be the Lord's will, entitled, "Who is Jesus?" Who is Jesus? Number one, we see over in John 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." John 1:14 tells us, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory," listen, "as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness to Him and cried, saying, 'This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me.'" Listen this morning. I wonder if you know who Jesus is. He's telling us here He was in the beginning. He was all the way from the beginning of the world, and He'll be all the way to the end of the world. Jesus, the Bible is Jesus in the form of a book. I come this morning to preach you the inherent, the infallible Word of God. It's perfect from cover to cover. It never changes. Every situation that you got going on in your life is written right here within these pages. Because this is Jesus in the form of the book. He is the Word. He's the one that we grow. He's the one we learn from this morning. My heart was pricked this week because I've been doing some studying on who Jesus is and looking at some statistics on what the world talks about who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that we're begotten by the Word. He's not just the Word. He is I Am. Who do you say that I am? He asked his disciples there. Over in John 8:58, the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was. John 15 says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman." John 10 tells us that the thief come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Who are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus. This is who we're talking about. Isaiah 43 tells us, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." And Revelation 22 says it about the best of any of them. He tells us, "I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning. I am the first and the last. He is in the beginning and He will be in the end." Jesus will forever be, amen, our Savior and our Lord. There's no name higher than the name of Jesus, amen. You can go out in this world and you can talk about how God is doing this and how God is doing that, and you won't stir too many people up. Because all kinds of people have different kinds of gods. But you start mentioning the name of Jesus and you'll tear some people up. I like to get out into the restaurant sometimes and I'll get with my family and we'll pray. And I want to pray in the name of Jesus. I don't stand up on top of the table and say, "Hey, everybody, let's pray." But I get with my family and I have prayer. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of this man called Jesus. He's done a lot for me. I don't know what he's done for you, but he's done a lot for me. He's not just the Word. He's not just I am. But he says over in Acts 4:12, there is there no other salvation in any other than the name of Jesus. Amen. There's no other but the name of Jesus. He's the way. He reminds us over in John 8:32, and he says there, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He's the truth this morning. He's not only the way, he's the truth. Over in 1 Corinthians 13:16, he says, "Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth." And he goes on from there and he says that he's the life. John 11, he says there, Jesus said unto them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We're still talking about Jesus. We're not talking about any other gods. We're talking about Jesus if we believe in him. And he goes on to tell us over in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, whom loved me and gave himself for me." Talking about Jesus. And I love this when he talked to his disciples and he told them in John 14, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the only way we can get to this place called heaven, is except through and by Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He's the perfect way. He's the door to the sheepfold. Now, I don't know what kind of Bibles you're reading, but I like the old King James Version. You can get in them other versions and they'll talk about this very scripture and they'll talk about Jesus being the gateway. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just an old country boy. But back when I was a boy and we had fences and we had gates, I tell you what, some of those old gates I could slip underneath. And some of them I could slip through. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't slip under a door or squeeze through a door. You have to open up the door. I'm glad that Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." Amen. Only way we're going to get in is go through him. Can I hear from you this morning? I'm glad he said, "I am the way." It's a scary thing when you think about what the world thinks about Jesus and who that he is. I wrote some things down, and I wanted to share with them these things with you this morning. And I kept it clean, because if you heard all I heard, it broke my heart when I heard it. I put it down on paper, and I wanted to share it with you. They asked people on the street who Jesus is. This come from the streets of New York City, where they walked up to people and asked them, "Who is Jesus?" Some said, "Just a good man. He's a prophet. He's a white guy. He's a made-up story. I don't know him." One said, "My Lord and my Savior." One said, "A good moral man." Another one said, "Our Savior." And another one said, "Superpower." Now, this is what people think about Jesus. Then they asked some Israelis who they thought Jesus was. Israelis, listen, the Christian prophet, good man, a cousin. One even said nothing. Another one says, need to be respected like Muhammad. Another one said, a Christian leader. Another one said, American's prophet. Another one said, he's not the Messiah. And they asked random street people in another place, "Who's Jesus?" One said, "He's a myth." Another one said, he's a spiritual leader. Another one said, he's a high man. One said he was everything. I like that one. He's my everything. Another one said, he's all that stuff people talk about. A higher power, not a person. One said, our Savior. This one broke my heart. I couldn't even put in the words that was said with this sentence. A person you can trust that will let you do anything you desire. And I took a lot out of that sentence. It broke my heart, what was said in that sentence. Now, this is what people think Jesus is. I'm telling you today, we'll never see this place called heaven unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Unless we believe in the virgin birth of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will never see heaven's gates. We will never be raptured out of this life with the Christians. I'm telling you today, heaven will be our home if we'll trust Him as our personal Savior. Jesus is the only way out of this life alive. I don't know if I really need Jesus. Well, I can promise you one thing. Without Jesus, the Scriptures teaches that hell will be your home. There's no way out of this life without having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. This season, I love this season, Christmas season. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was born of that virgin. He came into this life. Why? So He could live 33 and a half years and be an example for you and I and bring forth the Scriptures that we may know what He wants out of our lives so that we can live for Him and we can prosper for Him and we can die in Him and one day we can be with Him. Why? Because of Jesus. It's only because of Jesus you're sitting here today. It's only because of Jesus you've been blessed this week. It's only because of Jesus you're blessed with your children the way that you are. You're only blessed this morning because of Jesus. It was Jesus this morning that gave you the breath of life. When you got up out of the bed and your feet hit the cold floor, it was Jesus that blessed you that way and no other way. Sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? I've been visiting with some folks and seeing some really sick children and sick folks and some things going on in people's lives and tragedy, and it'll break your heart if you'll really get out and pay attention to what's going on in people's lives. We get so self-absorbed in our own lives, in our own way, in our own work, in our own everything that we do that we push everything out, including Jesus. I wonder this morning, don't raise your hand, how many prayed when you got up this morning? Was He the first thought on your mind? When you opened up your eyes, did you say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day of life? Thank you, Lord, for the strength that's in my body. God, thank you for the food that you've set before me at the breakfast table. God, thank you, bless me and my family to go to church on a beautiful day today. Lord, I thank you for being in your house. Lord, I just want to raise my hands and bless your name. Lord, you're so good to me. I wonder how many of us have thought that way today. Or did we get up real quick and we got to get showered and we got to get the clothes on and we got to get the kids ready and we got to get to church. We're going to be late. We got to get this, got to get that. We got to fix food. It's going to go. We got to go. And we never think of Jesus. Sometimes I look at it like this. When we're sleeping at night and the Lord is there and He's patiently waiting. He's watching over us. That's my child. And He's watching. He knows we're sleeping. And He's keeping all the evil things away from us. We're letting us rest, okay? He's watching. And He's probably anticipating it that you're going to get up for too long. And He's thinking, I know they're going to talk to me as soon as they get up. I can't wait for my child to talk to me this morning. Can you imagine the anticipation and the love that He has for you and I? And He's just waiting for you and I to get up so we'll talk to Him. And all of a sudden, He blesses us to wake up, and we wake up, and no doubt He's anticipating and waiting for us to communicate, and we get right up and go on. And He never even got a thank you. Can you just imagine what His heart's like when that happens? So many times we'll do things for our children. We try to be good to them, and we give them more than they deserve, and we'll love on them, and they just throw it to the side. They don't even care. Don't that bother you as a parent? Am I talking to myself this morning? Does that bother you? It bothers me. You work real hard and you want to give them stuff and you buy them stuff and it costs a lot of money and here you go. You know, just like I deserve it. Does that not bother you? Imagine how that God feels about it. When Jesus is reaching out and blessing and doing all this stuff for you and helping you and making a way and opening doors and blessing your life, and you're just like, what else are you going to give me? That's the way we are, ain't it? Who is Jesus in your life? Is he just somebody that you get stuff from? Is he just a spare tire that you use when you want something? Is he just somebody when things get bad that you go to and say, God, please, 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 I promise you when tragedy comes in your life, your prayer life will increase just like that right there. Oh, God, help me. It's so bad. We're having such a hard time. Lord, please help me, help me. And he loves us so much, guess what he does? He helps us. But then I get to thinking back about how much I have put him aside. And it makes me feel like nothing. And it makes me want to worship. It makes me want to come to the house of God and say, Jesus, I love you. I want to go tell somebody else how I love Jesus. Well, you've been a little fanatical. I'd rather be fanatical for Jesus than dry up and die out for the devil. And that's what he wants. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And he will take the very joy right out of your life if you'll let him. And this season, we need to remember who Jesus is. Is he your Savior? Is he that little baby that was born in a manger? Is he that to you, or is he just a spiritual leader? A myth, a high man. I wonder what you think this morning. You must have thought something about him or you wouldn't be here. I passed a lot of people this morning coming to church. Some with work clothes on, some people have to work. I understand that. I'm not against all that. But you know, sometimes, you know, there's other things we could do, like go to the house of God. During summertime, I'll go be heading to church. There'd be people out mowing their yard about 10:30 in the morning, right? Sunday school time, and I'm thinking, if they'd just put the Lord first, there'd be time to mow the yard. If they'd put the Lord first, there'd be time to do other things. How do you know, preacher, that's the truth? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things will be added unto you. What do we need to do? We need to seek Jesus first. You need to consider the Lord in the days of your youth. Why? The Bible says your days will be long upon the earth. Honor thy father and mother. Do all these things, and God will bless your life. I've been blessed in my life. 37 years living for God. I'm 48 years old. I've been blessed in my life. Why? Because I've honored my father and mother. I have honored God most of all. I trusted him as a young man. I was 11 years old. I walked an old-fashioned altar aisle way and came down and gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I could have got with the crowd. I could have done anything I wanted to do, but I chose to follow Jesus. I've never regretted. Not one minute have I regretted living for God. Was you bullied? Was you made fun of? Absolutely I was. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll go with you all the way, even down to the end of the world. Every time I was bullied, every time I was made fun of, Jesus made a way. Every time somebody picked on me and bullied me and tried to fight me, Jesus made a way. When I got older and people keep persecuting me and doing things against me, lying on me, Jesus made the way. When I got sick unto death and thought I was going to die, Jesus touched my body. One day after a while, I'm going to get sick and get ready to cross the river, and I know one thing, Jesus is going to be there, amen, to take me across one day after a while. Why? Because I know who he is. He's my Savior. Who's he to you? Is he just a good man? Is he just somebody that everybody talks about? What is Jesus to you? Scriptures teaches that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. There's no other way that you and I can be saved except through and by the name of Jesus. Now, you can give your tithes. You can come to this church every Sunday. You can invite people. You can mow the churchyard. You can pull weeds. You can paint the walls. You can help me all you want to, help my family, and help every member in here. And if you ain't got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, you'll die and go to hell. Boy, that's rough, preacher. That's the truth. I want to give you the truth this morning. You know why? Because someday I'm going to stand before God. And God's going to say, you remember December the 10th, 2017, I told you to preach the gospel, and you preached the gospel that day, but I'm holding those people charged for you because you didn't say this and you didn't say that. I don't want to hear those words. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful just over a few things. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what I'm looking for. No, it may not be a rosy message, and it may not be a good, feel-good message, but he told me this week, he said, you ask them, who do they think I am? Who do you think he is? He's not your good buddy. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not a spare tire that you can put on and take off when you need him. He's not standing over the corner wringing his hands waiting for you to call on him. I'll tell you one thing, he's a mighty God. He's God Jehovah. And I'll tell you what, he can move in your life where you can't see him move. He'll make a way where there is no way. He's done things for me. If I had the time, I'd tell you this morning, that would blow your mind of what God can do. How does he do that, preacher? You got to commit your life unto him. Seek him first in your life. Give him your whole heart, and he'll bless your life if you'll do that. Can I do it and live like I'm living? No. It'll take a committed life. It'll take a surrendered life. It'll take a life saying, here I am, Lord. Use me. Why? Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And lastly, he gives us the Holy Spirit. What does that do? The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs our life. You know, the prophets of old, they didn't have the Holy Spirit till Jesus came. And when they received the Holy Spirit of God, I know then they must have thought, wow, how wonderful this is that we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad when I came to that old-fashioned altar, when he gave me the Holy Spirit of God, I got up from there and he began to lead my life. He began to direct my life. Some people want to call it a conscience. When I go to do good, the Holy Spirit confirms it. When I do something bad, the Holy Spirit whoops me for it. He shows me where I'm wrong. When I got to go somewhere, the Holy Spirit says, you need to go there. You need to go here. You need to help him. You need to help her. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit of God that leads my life. Amen. And you can have that this morning. I don't know how to live a Christian life. That might be what you're saying. Well, join the club. None of us do. But the Holy Spirit knows how to lead you. He'll lead you in ways you don't even know is going to happen. I've been places and needed to be a witness to people, and things come out of my mouth I didn't even expect. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave me revelation to give to people. He'll do the same for you. When you study the Word of God and learn of the Word of God and eat from the table of God. We're fixing to go downstairs and have a big old meal. A big old meal. But I'm telling you what I did before I come to get this meal. I got up against the table of God. And I got me a plate from the heavens table, amen. And I fed from that table. And I got all full of that. And I wanted to know who Jesus is in my life. So that when it came natural time, when it came to eat the natural food, it'd be good too. But when we push Jesus aside and we don't live for him and we live that life that's not pleasing unto him, it just seems like the natural food ain't no good neither. There's the way of a transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. And when we're out of fellowship with God, it's hard. You may be born again this morning, but you're wayward on God. You've been doing the things of the world, and you've been living of the world, and you wonder why people are happy all the way around you, and you're dry as a desert. He said he would not bless an unclean temple. I don't know what your temple is this morning. I know what my temple is. My temple is seeking after God and the things of God. And I'm lifting up Jesus and honoring Him. I'm trying my best. And if you want to see somebody that fails, follow me for a while. You'll see a man that'll fall down. You'll see a man that makes mistakes. I'm not the perfect man. And you're not the perfect person. But we serve a perfect God that can do all things. Amen. And this morning in this message, I don't know why the Lord's led me all this way. But He talked to His disciples. He said, ask them who they say I am. Who do they think I am? He's trying to teach them, you need to tell folks who I am. If I was to come to you this morning and ask you, Brother Rudy, who's Jesus? Could you tell me who He is? Brother Aaron, if I came to you and said, who's Jesus? Could you tell me who He is? You got to think about that. Who would you portray Jesus to be? We need to portray Him of who He is in our life. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my soon coming King. He's my everything. That's what you should reply. It should be alive in you like that. Who's Jesus? Well, he's a good man. Some say He's a prophet. I don't know. Wouldn't that be sad to hear those words? If you don't believe my words, you can go on YouTube, put in who's Jesus, and watch the videos. It'll break your heart. It broke my heart when I looked at that and realized all across this country, people don't know who Jesus is. You know what that tells me? That preachers are letting down the standards. Churches are letting down the standards. God's people are letting down the standards. They're being ashamed of the gospel. And if we're ashamed of Him, He said He'd be ashamed of us. To confess us before His Father and His holy angels. So I wonder this morning, I will ask you this serious, serious question. Who is Jesus to you? Is He your soon coming King? Is He your Lord and Savior? Or is He just a good man? As every head is bowed and every eye closed, and the pianist comes, let's all stand to our feet. Lord told me to get serious with you this morning. That's what I've done. Who is Jesus to you?